Welcome, welcome, everybody. Mike, are you still with us? Mr. Moon Show?
I'm here.
Okay. And what about Mr. Jeffrey?
We're working on it.
Okay. We'll get the call started while you're working on it. Stand by, everybody. Welcome to the call. Just making sure our friends in Latin America are all tapped in. Claudia, could you send me a quick test and make sure you got yourself unmuted? I got bounced out of the Zoom, so I'm hoping you can sign back in, Claudia. As okay, here we go.
The recording has started.
And it's the 31st of August, the last day of the month, 2016. Welcome, everybody, to the ICANN coaching program. Just a reminder, this course has not been viewed or has not been approved by NICANE. So we just want to make sure we put that disclaimer out there. Welcome to everybody. Thank you so much for all of your feedback on your elevator speeches. They have been an interesting read, to say the least. Marty has informed me that he is enamored with how many of those came back in and how positive they are. So congratulations to everybody on that. I want to just mention that Mike and I have been using elevator speeches for decades. And I know mine is very personable to me because Mike actually was the first person to get so much relief from the technology that I really knew nothing about. It was a new company to the United States, and she was getting cortisone shots in her knuckles for a relief of very with movement in her hands. And so those cortisone shots in her knuckles were so dramatic for her to have to go through. It was just crazy. And so when somebody lent me a product called a Mag Boy, today actually Mag Duos, were placed in her hands, I received a phone call of her holding those magnetic devices in her hands, and the doctor wanted to know how much they were and if he could get them for a discount by the case, because he wanted to start selling him those units to all of his patients that were seeing him for the same I was floored. And to see my grandmother get that relief was, well, she had to, actually, she couldn't use her fingers. She had to use her knuckles to run the remote control. And when J.R. Ewing in Dallas came on, that was what she lived for, was that show and that evening with J.R. Ewing. So when she looked at me, said, "Nothing has given me this much relief in my entire life. I need myself with the company and share these technologies with everybody that I come in contact with. I would see if I can get them some non-invasive relief." That's been my elevator for over 20 years. I'm still passionate today talking about that as the day I was whenever I started. Demuchio, how about you? Do you have an elevator speech? Yes, I do. Can you hear me okay, William? Loud and clear. All right, excellent. Well, my elevator speech has changed over time, but it pretty much covers the same ground. It's my story. And the thing about it is I don't have to really memorize it because I just have to recall it. That's the beautiful thing about an elevator speech, is it's a recollection of a personal experience, but you want to keep it short and to the point and be something that draws someone to want to ask more about it. So you don't want to give them too much, and you don't want to give them, you don't want to leave it in such a way where it's not open-ended, inviting that question. So here's mine. Since I can remember, I was always looking to lead an extraordinary life. But at 26, I was moving in the wrong direction fast. The climax came after a car accident left me with severe lower back pain. 18 months of traditional therapy wasn't working. Finally, a friend introduced me to a simple technology from Japan. Without it, actually, I don't know where I'd be today. The amazing relief I experienced, that my father himself as well experienced, and others that I shared it with, compelled me to tell the world about it. The ripple effect of sharing this has enabled me to live a lifestyle of freedom and purpose. So I continue to do what works. I pay it forward. That this little-known secret may help somebody else achieve a higher quality of life. And that's my speech.
Brilliant. That's what the energy of you guys is. Well, there is something different about us tonight because the three of us are together. We're together for good, yes, but we're also physically together. We're at Casa de Demuccio in beautiful Toronto, Canada for an ICANN planning session. And I got to tell you, I am so excited to learn about where we are and where we're going with this whole idea of changing your results together for good. When we come in, we don't do negative. And so with that, I'm going to pass the hat down the hallway to my good friend, the author, the moderator of the ICANN training series, Mr. Jeff.
Well, and thank you so much. And hi, everybody, from Kleinburg, Ontario. Just are we at east of, where are we?
From? We are north of the city.
North of the city of Toronto. And you can tell when you're getting near here because there's big stacks of money in the ditches. Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway, hi, everybody. It's so good to be with you again. And yes, the response with the elevator talks has been overwhelming. I can really speak from some experience around Michael DiMuccio's elevator speech because it was the talk he basically gave me when I came here on this date 22 years ago. It's probably very close to right now. And he told me that story about his dad, and he told me about the car accident. And it made me want to know how did you fix your back? What did your dad use? I was full of questions. And so some of the talks that have been sent in, this one, for example, I'm not going to identify you by name because I haven't asked your permission. So if this sounds a lot like your story, it probably is. I was a nurse for 40 years. I enjoyed nursing and the bonds that I had with my patients. But unfortunately, the past several years of my career, I saw myself as a glorified pill pusher giving patients cups full of medicine for assorted medical issues, and then a friend introduced me to some technologies from a Japanese company that helped people get better, minimizing the need to take handfuls of medicine, each with their laundry list of side effects. And it's really a shame that many people feel that their lives will not get better without taking medications for the rest of their lives. Would you agree? So there's an elevator speech. I mean, It's the problem. It states the dilemma. I, as the recipient of that talk, I'm either going to agree with it or disagree with it, but it is going to engage me. Here's another. Almost 13 years ago, I had chunks of time off at work. And at first, I filled it with doing things like massages, exercises, classes, hiking, movie watching, cooking, lunching with friends. But after a time, I started to feel bored, and I had a nagging feeling that I really didn't know what to do about it. So one of my customers had learned about a concept called five pillars of health: healthy mind, healthy body, healthy family, healthy society, and healthy finances. Pillars about striving for balance. So I felt that the society concept was the most out of the balance areas for me at that time. That was the nagging feeling I had. It's so sad how we tend to accept our discomfort as being normal. Well, here was a way to help others, so I decided to jump in, join the movement of active wellness. Now, those chunks of time are filled with helping people and learning about the concepts of health and achieving balance. So there's two life stories. There's two people sharing their why, not the what, not the how, because that's what everybody hits you with. This is how you do it. No, why are you doing what you're doing? But just one other quick word before we start lesson four. If you haven't sent your elevator speech in. Don't let your left brain tell you it's too late. That's nonsense. Send it in. And you deserve to share this and have it kind of discussed with someone else. It's really funny in the dialogue, the genius comes into it. So please send that elevator speech. I am one by one. I'm answering back. I think many of you have probably had emails from me. Okay, so this is ICANN Attitude 2, Lesson 4, entitled, It Isn't Personal. You know, we said last time that a principle is a law or a rule. You can count on principle. Principle is the reason you know that when you walk, you'll stay on the ground, but when you fly, that the plane's going to be able to land. That's because gravity is a principle upon which we can depend. But like electricity and the laws that make it possible, the forces under each principle must be respected. In other words, these laws aren't interested in your age, your nationality, or IQ. They're the same for the good and the evil, the rich and the poor. The sun and the rain fall on all of us, and principles are indiscriminate and universally powerful. Is one reason that it seems so unfair when bad people succeed, because they have applied certain principles habitually. But that's why we can trust principle over personal judgment. It means that when we apply principle to our actions, we get predictable results. It's not personal, it's just the law. So we can let go of our old ideas about why others might succeed when we don't. They aren't genetically superior. They aren't uber gifted salespeople. They are just applying certain laws, knowingly or unknowingly, which then create the desired results. And they have used these laws consistently to achieve those anticipated outcomes. By the way, if they get arrogant, are blinded by the success and stop using these laws, they will lose their gains. So, please, no, we're not talking about making higher moral choices or deciding to do what we might consider as the right thing. We're talking about using principle time after time, no matter what our head or anyone else, for that matter, might be suggesting. We also recognize that there are higher principles, higher laws that can be used to overcome the lower laws, and that is also very good news, because when we understand and apply a few higher principles, our business dreams will manifest. It isn't about manipulating nature, it's just about obeying the laws. It's about not about learning from vast libraries of information on business. I mean, books are great and information is wonderful, but thankfully, it is more to do with putting these principles into action in our lives. It's our untiring application of these powerful principles. And yes, that means repetition of good thoughts and actions until our feelings catch up. Often in the beginning of this work, you will have feelings that don't match up with what's going on. You may experience fear, or you may experience sadness for no apparent reason. Well, we're going to discuss this more later, but just know that those feelings are only the expression of the chemical releases in your body. So that if your left mind imagines trouble, you will feel fear with no good reason. And yes, this does pass when we keep reprogramming our thoughts through good actions. But here's something to consider. If you're just certain you've done everything possible and you're still failing, cheer up. The law says you aren't doing all the right things possible. How do I know that? Well, because you haven't manifested your goal. To be clear, I'm not saying that you haven't tried in good faith or to the best of your knowledge, but you only know what you know. Think of it this way, you may know something that isn't true anymore. Or as Mark Twain put it so well, It ain't what you don't know that gets you into trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so. Alvin Toffler, the futurist, said this: the illiterate of the 21st century will not be those who cannot read or write. It will be those who cannot learn, unlearn, and relearn. Things aren't always as they appear on the surface. For example, a diamond is the chemical element C, which is the identical element for carbon, and soot. It's the pressure and time that have changed the physical appearance and value of a diamond. So if you're feeling pressure because you've been at this for a long time, it may not be all bad. That pressure can be shaping what you already are into something even more valuable. Elements that share the same chemical character, like diamonds and soot, are called allotropes. They're made up of the same element, but because of vast chemical and physical laws, they can manifest as something very valuable or as something that is virtually worthless. That is why our thinking, our feelings, and our actions, the elements of our makeup, are inseparable from our results. They follow one another like night follows day. So that begs the question, why do so many of us find this so difficult to put into practice? It all sounds so easy, right? And when we hear something is easy to do and we don't get it right away, we can feel fear. That may be the way we close our minds in the first place. We may begin to avoid doing the right thing in favor of doing something that just feels better. And this creative avoidance can be very hard work, too. You can run yourself ragged avoiding all the very actions that would make you succeed. It's not uncommon, and it is totally curable. This requires focused action to outgrow that fear. It means we work at the things that build our character. We always stay out of negative discussions of other people. We just stay on track doing what builds our business. Be kind with yourself in this work. A diamond takes time. The non-pressure route will only create soot. All about fear. Fear. It's a good thing. Rational fear is a good thing. People with no rational fear don't last very long. But when fear appears as something else, like an uninvited bully, every time you attempt to talk to someone or to ask for something, then fear becomes a block. If you are afraid to ask a customer for the retail price of an item, when you know they need it, then something is wrong. Well, perhaps you have an idea or a false belief that is a powerful force underlying your behavior. Maybe you secretly feel that you are charging too much or that they can't afford what you're offering. But what price are you extracting by not letting them make the decision for themselves once they have the idea of just how much benefit your product could provide? So here's a solid principle of any successful retail business. Don't make assumptions. Your responsibility is to provide interesting ideas and products. Always demonstrate respect. Relationships are built on mutual interest and trust. So making assumptions can be very destructive. Last year I was speaking in Los Angeles. I was seated at a table with a man who sells original manuscripts. He shared this story, maybe just for you. And for those of you who have asked me, yes, this is a true story. One Saturday morning, he saw what he thought was a homeless woman at his shop door about 15 minutes before the store opened. She was dirty, and she was clutching some pop bottles in her arms. He considered just totally ignoring her, pretending that he didn't see her. And then he remembered the golden rule, a principle, something he had built his business on. Treat others as you would like to be treated. So he opened the shop door and asked the woman what she needed. To his surprise, she asked him if he had an original signed manuscript from Charles Dickens. Yes, he told her. I actually have three of them. She seemed very unsure as she asked if he would show them to her, but he decided that he would do it. And on the way to the showcase where these very valuable books were displayed, he also decided he would not only let her see them, he would also let her hold the book in her hand. She was delighted at the offer, but seemed unwilling to put the bottles down. My friend assumed that she might be worried that he or someone else might take them, but she finally did put the bottles on the floor near her feet. She took the first book in her hand and became transfixed. It seemed like she had a connection to the book. My friend was very pleased at his own generosity. He felt that he had done something very kind, something very good. She asked to hold the other books in the series. After holding all the manuscripts for a time, she asked, "How much would you sell these books for?" His heart filled with compassion, but before he could reply, she said, "Oh, that was silly of me. I should have asked the price before you saw how much I love them." And then she reached in her dirty pocket and she produced a black American Express card, you know, the one with no limit, and said, "I'll take all of them. I just have to have them." You get it? He had jumped to a very embarrassing conclusion about her. She wasn't poor. Later, she explained that her gardener, a man whom she adored, was sick. She had attempted to do his gardening, was why she was so dirty from head to foot. And after which, she opted to drive the recycled bottles into town for him. She also explained that she didn't feel right setting those dirty bottles down on a beautiful floor. It turned out that she was an extremely wealthy and influential woman who became his best customer. She brought many celebrities to his shop in the years before her death. And this is the most important of all business and character building principles. Treat others as you would like to be treated and assume nothing. We must never decide what someone else can or cannot do. Your job is to share the information. They need your information to make the best decision for themselves. They will make the decision. It never varies, and we must give them information. That's why you should use a person as your A, or use a brochure, a personal story, a YouTube video, whatever, but get the whole picture to them. So in a very practical way, our job is to connect them with something of interest in a respectful way to build mutual trust. Our elevator speech was the storefront, the display window, the one-minute conversation that opened our virtual shop door. When they come inside, be certain to treat them as a welcomed and respected guest, regardless of what stories your left brain may be telling you. Now, does that sound over the top? Maybe you tried something like this before. Maybe you don't understand why it didn't work as planned. Have you considered that you or those you mentor won't let go of unworkable ideas like judging another person's ability to pay for what they need? We may have had some very damaging ideas about ourselves, too. For example, are you hanging on to some childhood impression of a person in sales and somebody selling what amounts to snake oil? Or do you hear that inner voice that says, selling is disgusting? Well, here's what may come as a bit of a shock. Maybe you're not letting those old ideas go because it gives you the excuse to avoid the real work. It's a harsh question, I know, but we really must look at this. If you won't share me, Ken, when and how will these people, these prospects, get to use what you're already enjoying in your life? Just when do they get the chance to enjoy these unique and proven energy products? Let's revisit a statement from over 100 years ago that may give you further insight into why you won't change your habits and thinking. Consider this. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot help to keep a person in everlasting ignorance, that principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer is right. Maybe not you, maybe the people you mentor or sponsor, but consider this simple question. Has your mind blocked you because you make assumptions based on old ideas? Is it possible that some of your irrational fear is created by some unrealistic expectations and old chatter? Have you mistakenly come to believe that you must have incredible amounts of product knowledge to impress and convince your customer? And here's the most common disconnect with customers. Are you thinking about what you expect to see happen instead of finding out what your customer needs to see or hear? Remember, a customer wants a solution. She or he wants you to get them out of a bind. That bind doesn't have to be a health challenge. It can be a way to feel better, to have more energy, challenge to run longer or operate more efficiently. They may want to provide clean water and air for their loved ones. So many need an answer to years of sleeplessness. An ever-increasing number needs a way to generate income. So the takeaway is this. When you present to anyone, always listen to hear what they are looking for. What do they need? After your brief opening, they will let you know if they're listening and really hearing what they say. For example, they may say, don't show me anything yet. Tell me more about you and where the products are made. That's a valid request. They want to trust you and the company. They're asking questions to learn. So please resist the temptation to just move forward with your presentation to avoid dealing with these pesky questions. The point is that you don't know what they will say until they say it. So you see, you can relax, because you don't have to carry the conversation. You're serving them. You don't have to impress and dazzle. You are acting as their advocate. And that brings us to the second customer-centric principle gleaned from the survey of 10,000 committed customers. This is the underlying principle regarding experience. Establish intimacy with me by doing something no one else can do. You know, you only need to go to a shopping mall food court to watch a majority of people experience a complete lack of intimacy. I sometimes wonder if they're on the cell phone with each other or with outside people, but where I live, the old and the young are on the phone, they're reading from a tablet, or they're just staring off into space. It is crazy. Intimacy is becoming a lost art for an entire generation. It is a fond memory for many of us digital immigrants. We dinosaurs who existed and communicated before the internet. Now, we may talk about longing for good old communication, but is that when we act? Is your potential customer able to engage you in a one-on-one conversation? Think about how you'd like to be treated. Would you like someone to just assume what you need, what you want to buy? Or would you like someone insinuating that, hey, you hate your J-O-B and you're looking for a new career? I wouldn't like to be treated like that. I may be in need of what you have to offer, but I don't know that until I give you access to show me, until there is some trust. This is true in every buying situation. Just think about your own experience in a retail store. A clerk says, may I help you? And you, the potential customer, reply, no, just looking. In other words, don't try to sell me anything. If I see something I want, I'll let you know. That is, of course, you know what you want and you're asking them for directions. But here's the part you may not have considered. We want personal attention from someone when they have something that we want or need. That's how we want to be treated, right? We want to be attended to immediately if we decide we want to get something. But you may say, how am I supposed to know what they need? You don't. But just like that customer in the store, they're looking for something. And once they find something they need or want, most will want personal attention, and they want that attention now. You can get it for them immediately? Great. you can't get it for them immediately, then tell them what you will do to get it for them at the earliest possible time. A customer will wait if they know something is coming, and when they are respectfully told that it will take some time. We're more willing to wait if the person serving us is really attempting to get it for us in a timely fashion. Here's a good rule of thumb: under-promise and over-deliver. So here's the nugget of information. Once you find the person who wants and needs what you have, make that customer a personal concern of yours. I couldn't tell you the number of good customers who have wandered away from Nikken because no one was giving them personal attention. Unfortunately, the old model of network marketing used to give a buyer the impression that if they didn't want to do the business, they weren't all that important. It's a huge mistake for repeat business, which is the foundation of any sustainable retail enterprise. And I'm not suggesting that you can personally cater to hundreds of retail-only customers. What I am suggesting is that you can give very special and intimate personal attention to a few retail customers. In our experience, you have to find about five and make them active retail customers. That's as a minimum. And only do more if you have time to really care for them. In other words, you provide very personal attention for your five, keep them up to speed on product updates, fight any battle they might have with the company, for example, take their complaint and get it solved. Regularly send them interesting information on the products or perhaps a YouTube video that may be of interest as it relates to the product. You may even consider a customer appreciation routine like sending cards or gifts. But here's the thing. Don't be afraid to introduce them to other products once you have their trust. You have no less than five technologies to provide something for your customer that no one else can do. So an excellent relationship with a few customers can provide you with a constant source of other potential customers and business partner leads, as well as a foundation for cash flow. And yes, you heard right. Customers will bring other customers with no profit motive if they feel they're getting something they need from someone who cares. They are happy to introduce family and friends to someone they trust. You should know your customer better than anyone, and you may suggest what is best for them, but please don't hesitate to find out from your sponsor or mentor what others are doing, what others are finding out about the product. The soon-to-be-launched my5andi.com site will provide an ongoing customer service blog that you can contribute to and learn from. But don't wait for that. Why not let it begin right now? Even if you have a number of personal autoship customers already, here's your assignment for this week. Get at least one retail-only customer. This is someone you know is not going to do the business. Yes. A customer, maybe someone you've avoided because you weren't clear on why you were approaching them. It is an easy list because everybody needs what we have. Maybe someone who is already heavily into self-care, jogging, or sports. Make a customer list. Review that list with your sponsor. Then call your strongest customer prospect and set up a place and time to do your elevator speech and personalized customer demo. You could also make contact and lead using the FAQ. Listen for what they want and get it for them. You'll also need to acquire one AutoShip customer. And when you have that new customer and an AutoShip customer, let me know at info@icanattitude.com. Second, read or listen to this lesson once a day, five days. Three, listen to the first presentation five times each day. By the way, when you're listening to lesson four once a day, each day try to get a new insight. Submit it to me like a journal. For example, send your email on Tuesday of each week before the call and tell me what you found out each listening point by point. I read them all. 4, memorize the ICANN proposal number 3. My ICANN attitude allows me to teach clients something which will add value to their experience with me, and I encourage them to respond in kind. Repetition is so powerful. We're told that it takes about a month to actually change a habit. So when you read the lessons 5 times instead of once, you're going to have a better shot at change. Having said that, you have to put these principles into action, or they will not lock into your character. Just for fun, if you want a practical example of what it means to change a habit, then try this. Wear your wristwatch on the opposite wrist. Try to do that for 30 days. It's quite an experience to break an old habit. Thanks again for all the submissions of your elevator talks. If you haven't done yours yet, please send it in. I will review each and every one, and I am sending comments back. The main thing is that you need to understand that this isn't a school exercise, and you're not bad, or shame on you for not doing it. We're trying to progress your character, to build you as a human being, and to through you reach hundreds and possibly thousands of people that need to hear this message of the 5 colors. Back to you, William.
Thank you, Marty, and thank you, everybody. Marty, you may not know this, but I actually already got my first retail-only customer today. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, I did. I actually watched Mike DiMuccio roll up his power window up into your hand and trap your hand in the door. You owe me $20 for a roll of duct tape. Thank you very much. I take cash. So, lesson number 4, ladies and gentlemen, there it is. It isn't personal. I want to remind everybody that this lesson had the biggest impact in ICANN 1. So pay close attention to it. If you're one of those folks that finished your 21-day consecutive reading of 5 times a day of ICANN attitude, you may want to up your reading of this lesson to, instead of once a day for 7 days, try 1, 2, or 3 times a day of this lesson. It isn't personal. It's a big one. It really is. Pleasure being with you all again this week from Kleinberg, Canada, just outside of Toronto, at Casa de DiMuccio. We are together for good. We don't do negative. And this training course has not been reviewed or endorsed by me, Tim Inc.
This session is no longer being recorded.
everybody.
I'm going to get, I'm flexing in the middle.